From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. This week, Dr. Alan Cairns is dealing with the final mention of the Holy Spirit. The text is Revelation 22:17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In introducing the message, Dr. Cairns dealt with the question, To whom is the text addressed? The conclusion he reached is that these words are addressed to sinners as Christ's invitation to come. We've seen that the text contains the final mention of the focus of the Spirit's ministry to testify of Christ's finished work of redemption. Today, Dr. Cairns focuses upon the text's final mention of the fellowship of the Spirit. This speaks of the fellowship between the Spirit and the Bride of Christ, the Church. He lays particular emphasis upon the necessity of the Church speaking only what the Spirit speaks, that is, the Holy Scriptures. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns takes a few minutes to answer the question, How should we deal with cults? The video version of this comment may be found under Q&A with Alan Cairns on our website, ltbsradio.com.
I'm sure everybody has had some cult or other visit them on their doorstep. Jehovah's Witnesses will come. Mormons will come. You wonder, how do I deal with these? Do I have to be an expert in all the intricacies of their strange doctrines in order to deal with them? Well, no, you don't. There are certain things that cults have in common. They don't necessarily hold all these things in common, and they may differ among themselves in how they even hold their heretical views. But first of all, cults will have some source of authority beside or beyond the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses will talk to you about the authority and the writings of Russell. Now, sometimes they'll try to hide that until they get you in, try to tell you they're very biblical till they get you in. But he is an authoritative figure there. The Mormons will have their Book of Mormon, and then they'll have the writings of Joseph Smith and some of their other founding fathers. The Seventh-day Adventists, they will have the writings of Ellen G. White. So you can look at these various cults, and they have some authority that's supposed to be divine revelation beside, apart from, or beyond the Bible. And all these authorities will contradict the Bible. No doubt about that. Most of the cults agree in denying the deity of Christ. Now, that's not true, for example, of the Seventh-day Adventists, but you get the Jehovah's Witnesses. They want to come talk to you about the meaning of the Hebrew word Sheol, or the Greek word Hades. They'll want to talk to you about the Hebrew and Greek terms for soul and spirit. Most of the people who come to your door can hardly read these things in English, never mind in Hebrew or Greek, but they'll want to bamboozle you with these things. The thing to do is ask them about Christ. They deny that Jesus Christ is God manifested in the flesh. Jehovah's Witnesses deny it. The Mormons deny it. Now, if they're wrong on Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what they've got to say about anything else. They're just plain wrong. There's no salvation in the so-called Jehovah's Witness religion, Russellism. There is no salvation there. There is no salvation in Mormonism. These are not Christian sects. They are unchristian, anti-Christian cults. It's a world of difference. There is no salvation in them if they deny that Jesus Christ is God. Most of them, therefore, in fact, all of them, are going to have wrong views about the atonement of Jesus Christ. Cults are ultimately legalistic in their doctrine of salvation, to a greater or lesser extent, and as I say, there's dispute even among the cults in this. They believe in salvation by works. Some will try to mix grace in. So, in theological terms, they'll either be entirely Pelagian, that is, it's an entire merit-based religion of work salvation, or semi-Pelagian, which means that they propose a mixture of works and grace, what's called in theology synergism, man working with God for man's salvation. These are the marks of the cults. If you know the doctrine of the deity of Christ, of the blood atonement and redemption purchased by the blood of Christ, justification by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, then you know enough, first, to avoid the cults, and second, to be able to overthrow their arguments on these most basic and essential issues.
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the January issue will be the Gospel of Luke. The articles include Luke, the Man and His Message, A Primer on Prayer, The Parables, and Following Christ, the Meaning of Discipleship. Also, this issue contains another in a series of articles about the founding fathers of the Free Presbyterian Church, focusing this time on Dr. John Douglas. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that little word, radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we call your attention to a series of video features on the website. In these video clips, Dr. Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, can you be sure you're saved? How do you explain unanswered prayer? And what is marriage? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. the Holy Spirit of God is not in anything that demeans a once for all unrepeatable sacrifice of Christ. Hebrews 10:2 lays down a basic principle of Scripture that a sacrifice which is sufficient and successful never, never needs to be repeated, reenacted, perpetuated, or anything else. It's finished once and for all. That is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. His focus is upon the comfort of Christ, upon the commands of Christ. We have gone through the Scriptures to see how he focuses even on the commission of Christ to his people, and how he would lead his people into prayer and into witness and into soul winning. In our text, he is focusing upon the coming of Christ. I feel sometimes that we can get so bogged down in the affairs of this world and the distractions of this age that we lose the vision of the coming of our Savior. But when you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit holds before you not a day and a date. Too many people are so worried about setting dates. Some magical date on a calendar. We leave that to the Lord. But we are looking unto Jesus with a heart that longs to see him face to face. With a heart that says, yes, Lord, come, and come quickly, and the sooner the better. The Holy Spirit, through his word, would stir up the heart of the believer to yearn for the coming of Christ. And also he focuses on the conquest of Christ. We have read our text, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And that must be seen in the light of verse 16, that Jesus says, I am the root and the offspring of David. I am the bright and morning star. He is coming as the one who heralds a new day. He is coming as the one who will trample every enemy underfoot. He is coming as the mighty conquering one. He goes forth conquering and to conquer. And it is the conquering Christ that is set before us by God the Holy Spirit. What a joy it is to realize that this is the focus of the ministry of the Spirit. Now, I'm simply summarizing much of what we have seen, obviously, in bygone studies. That's what our text is doing. I want you never to lose sight of this fact. You can always tell the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. It centers and focuses on Christ. Now you think of that. There are many movements which tell us today the Spirit is working. The Spirit this, the Spirit that, the Spirit the other thing. And yet there is peculiarly little emphasis on the person and work of Jesus Christ. When you get such a claim, and yet you can't see Christ, you can be sure that it is not a work of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit's final focus is on Christ. Secondly, the final fellowship of the Holy Spirit's ministry. The Spirit and the Bride say come. The Bride in Revelation is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:9 makes that very clear. Many scriptures will testify to the same thing. And it's an interesting thing to me that the Holy Spirit, here in the last chapter of the Bible, joins the bride in testimony with himself. The Holy Spirit is saying to sinners, come to Jesus. But how does he say it? He says it through the bride. The bride says, come to Jesus. I have used very frequently in these studies those words of Acts 5:32. We are his witnesses, and so also is the Holy Ghost. The force of that verse, of course, is we ought never to be in any way satisfied with a witness that is not backed up by God the Holy Spirit, the crying need of the Church of Jesus Christ today is the presence and the power and the witness of God the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit is present, you don't really need what the world thinks to be great or learned preaching. Now, I certainly would hope that preachers would seek to be as well versed in Scripture as they can and preach as well as they can. But it's been my experience that the Holy Spirit can take the most stumbling words, the greatest demonstration of spiritual power that I personally ever felt in a meeting was on an occasion when I had planned to say nothing, when in almost a whisper I quoted a verse of Scripture, and suddenly like that God came down upon the meeting and God touched a whole bunch of people so as to change their lives forever. And I believe changed the entire direction of our church in Northern Ireland as the result. Nothing that the preacher said, nothing whatsoever of human learning or human oratory or human ability, but suddenly the power of God comes down. God can use orators. God can use a Moses whose speech is stumbling. Give a church or a preacher the power of the Spirit of God. That's all that's necessary. He will take the truth and he will apply it. My, how we need to be in prayer for that mighty conjunction of the church and her witness with the Holy Spirit and his witness. So Acts 5 and 32 would show our need of the Spirit. But, you know, it also shows what our text is showing, the graciousness of the Holy Ghost in using men and women, redeemed people, the bride of Christ, to be his witness. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Now let me tell you this. There's a great theological theme here that I really don't want to get into. This is I have dealt with much deep theology in our course through the Scriptures and the subject of the Holy Spirit. I'm only summarizing it all today. So I don't want to get into the deep theology of it. But let me say, from this text, I can set it down as a biblical truth that the bride, the church, speaks only, or should speak only, what the Spirit speaks. I want you to get that. Where does the Spirit speak? There's where the Spirit speaks. This is the Spirit-breathed word. And the Church of Jesus Christ, the true Church of Christ, does not define new doctrine or doctrine that is not settled by the Word of God. I have no right suddenly to announce that Mary was born without sin. I have no right to say that. I have no right to say that Mary is now the Queen of Heaven. I have no right to say that she was assumed into heaven in a bodily form. Why? Because the Bible doesn't say it, and also because it would hit at the root of many other great and important Bible doctrines. But the point is this. The so-called magisterium of the church that Rome believes in and that some so-called Protestants believe in, that enables it to define with infallible accuracy some doctrinal position not held in the Word of God is absolutely foreign to Bible Christianity. The church's job is to say what the Spirit says after him and pray that he will back home what she says with his authority and power. That's the ministry of the Spirit and of the church.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.